scooping it up and high-fiving. And I can guarantee you they were sitting there at the end of that looking at that thing going, what in the hell did we just see?
Yeah.
And why the sideline we're on, did they just pooch kick the ball? Why would
you know, that's
guys,
exactly
why
what
would
we
you
did.
Do that? Why would you do that?
That's exactly what we did in 2001.
Right.
These two games are so similar. I mean, Travis Stevens had just made an unbelievable play to score and put us ahead with no time to go. And we do a stupid pooch kick. They run two plays, get a couple of chunks of yardage. Third play, they put the hobnail boot on our face. Well, we're wearing the hobnail boots tonight.
And, guys, we've got ourselves an old-fashioned Dusty Rhodes, Dirty Dick Murdoch, where have you gone, Texas death match next
week.
In a cage. You better damn believe it. That's going to be unbelievable, Andy Mack. And surely it'll be a 3:30 start on CBS next week.
Oh, definitely.
Three
no
in a row for
it.
Us. And
it'll be four in a row.
And surely, what's the game, the commercial? What's that thing called? The 4-hour commercial on Saturday mornings? Game Day.
Oh, Game Day.
Game Day will be there.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, I know you probably don't want to hear this week, maybe a week too early. I think this is a team of destiny.
What
I think we're going down to Texas A&M. We're going to sleepwalk for a couple of quarters like we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come back, win the ball game in dramatic style. Maybe not as dramatic as tonight, but more like a Florida-type comeback. And then it's like you said, the Alabama game really doesn't mean that much. And I think that's the game we're going to put four quarters together and say, we are Tennessee, and we are back.
We are Tennessee, we are back, and you are not. Thank you, brother. Good talking to you. I think you can say that already. I love fans because it's short for fanatic, and I'm all about it, and I'm a fan. But I also have to be responsible when you're doing what we're doing. And I think it would be irresponsible on our part to build this up into some kind of this is going to happen or this has to happen. Yeah, it's not fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that 98 team had nowhere near the injuries and was a better football team than this team. I mean, we just got to be honest here. It's great, and I'm enjoying it.
You got to try to enjoy it, but I will say this, and I think everybody agrees, and I'm sure Butch would agree, that it's hard to enjoy when, yeah, you're 5-0, but Tennessee hasn't answered the bell yet. They have not showed up ready to play yet this season, not once.
Clemson comes back with a touchdown. We're 7-all, about to be here in Death Valley. Let's go back to the phones. I'm taking Louisville in that game. Bino, it would be, to me, unfair to start talking destiny, although that was insane what we saw today.
Yeah, I mean, Tony, let's enjoy every step of this journey. This is a more flawed football team than that 98 team was. You know, the 98 team, we knew they were terrific defensively. They had some questions offensively, but the offensive line play was obviously better at that time. But still, this team's finding ways to win football games. Just period. And overcoming a whole lot of adversity to do it.
Yeah.
And Texas A&M is good.
Yeah.
They're very good. But, I mean, they started the last 2 years 5-0 too. And the bottom's falling out on them. And their schedule suggests they should be really tested after playing UCLA, Auburn, and Arkansas. But none of those teams are. We played a couple of teams that are better than anybody on their schedule.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And by the way, I think they're good. I like them. I like them a lot.
Oh, I do too.
Oh my gosh.
We've got footage of Butch Jones dancing in the locker room.
Good for him.
I bet you Butch can really bust a move now.
He really is a good dancer. He's getting down with those kids. I'm happy for him. Him kneeling down there on one knee. That's good stuff, man.
If I had any hair, I wouldn't get a Butch cut, but I would put some orange spots in my hair like Juwan Jennings has got after his last 2 weeks.
Come to the press conference Monday with some orange spots in your hair?
No question. I may just paint them on my head.
Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. This is fun. We're with you tonight. We are 2 hours and 6 minutes into this thing we call the Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Tell a friend. Tell a friend, and Travis over at Power T Graphics made our sign for us. Tell a friend, if you get the opportunity, in the IGYV and help us grow. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony.
Yes.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey.
Hey, this is Jason from Virginia. How you doing?
Good talk to you, Jason. Thank you.
Hey, listened to you for years, man. First time caller.
Thank you, brother.
First of all, I want to give a shout out to my boys, Womack, Monty, and John. We were in Bristol for the Tech game. I actually got a Power T tattoo in Bristol while we were there. And I've converted my wife from a Tech fan to a Tennessee fan.
She's going to have a lot more fun. She's going to have a lot more fun.
Yeah, right. And for the past 2 weeks, she has been the one who said, calm down, they're going to win. And I just could not believe what we saw tonight. And hopefully we continue to ride the momentum that we've got in front of us right now. And it's just amazing to see, you know, how much it means to my children and how much it meant to me growing up. Because my 11-year-old was literally crying tears of joy. My 4-year-old is running up front trying to put his pajamas on, you know, running out of the bathtub. That was just amazing, absolutely amazing. You are awesome. God bless you, and go Vols.
Thank you, man. Great to talk to you. And what's your wife's name?
Whitney.
Whitney, we welcome you to Vol Nation.
Matter of fact, hang on. Let me get
her. Go get her.
Real quick.
Get her. I want to talk to Whitney.
Hey, how are you?
Whitney, welcome to Vol Nation.
Hey, that was many years ago. He led me the right way.
Oh, he pulled you in, huh?
That's right.
How long?
Oh, gosh. Over 10 years ago.
And you've stuck with it through all that torture of the last 10 years?
Yeah, baby.
Whitney, what were you doing today when Tennessee hit that touchdown? What was it like in your household?
Oh, it was just chaos. We were jumping up for joy. We were shouting, screaming. It was awesome.
Do you feel bad tonight, Whitney, for the Georgia fans?
No.
Whitney, Whitney, you're a great woman. I love and appreciate you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Whitney. Have a great night.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, tell your husband your call was better than his. Bina. Now, Bino, that guy was being nice to me. It was his first time calling, and I took a shot at him on the way out. Your thoughts?
Just welcome to the Celio Show.
It's brutal. Dubsy, question from Bill Dembro on Twitter. Has there been a Tennessee wide receiver who's made more timely huge plays than Juwan Jennings since Peerless Price? Thoughts?
Probably not. I mean, Juwan's been pretty darn clutch.
Yep.
I'm racking my mind. I mean, Kelly Washington and Dante Stallworth were special in 2001. Then, you know, they kind of went through a receiver drought, it seems, here lately.
You know, people are talking about this team in luck, and somebody said, yeah, kind of like Alabama's gotten lucky last couple national titles. Look, don't do that to yourself. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to think and how to think. It's not. There's nothing wrong with being lucky.
This year is all about getting to Atlanta.
Yeah. And this year is fun. This year, look, I love baseball, okay? It's one of my favorite sports. And let me tell you something about baseball. In baseball, most times your team has to make the wild card before it goes and wins a division. And it'll advance one rung further, it seems like, each year. That's the way it does. There's like a progression almost. You pay your dues, and we're paying our dues this year. And it's a lot of fun to do so. And today is a great memory. Beanstar, do you feel my analogy there? Clemson with another pick.
Yeah, I do, Tony. I think that as long as we continue to move rung up the ladder, that's what we need to do. And this team has positioned itself to once again have an improved season from what we had the year before and keep moving right up the ladder.
Oh, my God.
Tony, I thought Joey Kent made some huge plays, but Juwan Jennings has made two plays in the last 2 weeks that I think you could argue are top 10 plays in Tennessee football history.
I mean, it sounds like hyperbole, but really when you think about it, no. I mean, you know, these last two will go down in Tennessee football lore. Absolutely.
no matter what happens.
And I was the imbecile wanting to play him at safety all the time.
I think he's, I think he does have a defensive mentality.
There's
That's why when you get the ball in the middle of the field to him, I mean, he's the one guy, like somebody saying on Twitter, I mean, yeah, there's luck involved in that play, but they practice that play.
I just love the athletic quarterbacks converted to other positions, whether defensive backs or wide receivers. You know, Tennessee's had a couple of those. Kelly Washington, Cedric Wilson come to mind.
Yeah.
And Saban has made an absolute living off of recruiting athletic high school quarterbacks and turning them into defensive backs. And, I mean, that's...
No doubt about it. And by the way, Butch Jones tonight was our Moosehead Moose of the game. I mean, that's the kind of night it's been thus far. And he won Moosehead
Moose. That Hail Mary, guys. Josh couldn't have thrown it any better.
Nope.
Jennings couldn't have made any better catch. It was a great catch. And I don't know if you saw, but Josh Smith just basically cleared people out of there. He just basically grabbed somebody and threw them out of the way down
there. Hey, the UT football Twitter account tweeted out a great picture behind the end zone, and all you see is five Georgia players surrounding. You can't even tell who it is if you didn't know it was Jennings. You just see his tip of his helmet and his arms, and you look at that picture, and well, there's five Georgia players there and one Vol. There's no way the Tennessee guy should be able to make the play.
Casey Willis from Channel 8. Channel 8 had a camera right on that. Right in the back, and I retweeted it. That is an awesome piece of video. Right there from field level, you could see that bomb come right out of the sky.
It's you know, Tennessee, we slept through this phone revolution that everybody's been playing with, and Tennessee sucked the past couple of years. So this is the first year that we're seeing like all these crowd shots and, you know, media folks on the sideline with reaction that you didn't get. You know, we didn't have that when Tennessee was winning titles in the 90s and everything. I mean, can you imagine if you had just like random fans with video of the comeback against Arkansas in 98 or at the national championship game?
How are you? And here's the other thing. I mean, if you'd put videos out the last couple of years, it'd been like going to accidents, like being in a car wreck. That's what it's felt like around here. Let me remind you what you're listening to tonight, as I got to get my friend Marcos Garza in here.
You're listening to the best post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Today's show made possible by the Garza Law Firm. Big Orange fans deserve to have a voice and equal justice under the law.
Before you say guilty, call Garza.
Treating clients like family, online at GarzaLawFirm.com. Now, here's your host, Tony Basilio.
We're 2 hours and 14 minutes into this thing we call... What do we call it? The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Your performance medicine top performer of the week is coming up. We did have our Moosehead Moose of the Week. I also want to say a special shout out tonight to my friends with Citizens National Bank. Online at cnbtn.com, opening their 20th location soon. And by the way, Jody Ramsey, I hope you had an awesome time at the game today. And Becky Parrott, it was great seeing you at my watch party tonight. And Shara, you wanted to be there. You know you did. CMBTN.com. Let's go back to our phones. Clemson just turned the ball over again and again and again and again and again. I'm full Louisville on that one. And again. Are you telling me that Louisville just turned the ball over again, Bino?
They did. There's been about three turnovers in a row.
My gosh!
Dubsy, you missed the greatest Vernism tonight.
Greatest Vernism, Dubsy. Jalen Reeves Mavis.
Yeah. Bill Minot pointed that out.
The great
Reeves
Bill Minot bowed my head.
Jalen Reeves Mavis.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's a good one.
I feel sorry for Vern because 50 years ago he was a good announcer. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony?
Hey, welcome in, brah.
Tony, when Jennings caught that ball, he got his manhood tonight if he didn't have it before. Good night. I ran out of the door, almost ripped the door off, and then just ran up the street in Oak Ridge, screaming to the top of my lungs.
Man, I hope it moves you to getting a new telephone. Good, you're cloudy tonight with a chance of rain, brah.
Sorry about that, Brad, but I'm going to get off here. I've killed 6 beers in 7 minutes. Brah.
6 beers in 7 minutes.
We call that the Charlie Sheen special around here.
Yes.
This show has been fantastic. It's been family night to start with. Everybody's husband and wife has been on here.
Yes.
And then I don't know what's going on in Southwest Virginia, but I need to get up there and get me some of whatever they got up there with Barney Boy and his buddy Big, whoever that was that called in earlier. That's classic.
I love old Barney Boy. And to Vern Lundquist, I just want to say this because we're going to witness him 3 weeks in a row. Now Clemson's up 14-7. Can one of you all make a joke? I mean, even if it's not funny, just give me a knock-knock joke. Anything, Dubsy.
Why did the chicken cross the road? Do you want the punchline?
No.
Good, because I don't have one.
Okay, let's... I mean... Wow. Back to our phones we go. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, guys. How are y'all this evening?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, first of all, huge win for the Vols.
Awesome.
Second of all, thank you for all you guys do and give us a voice. It's incredible. I appreciate it a lot. I know that all of All Nation does too. Guys, you're going to have 1,000 people call tonight to brag on the Vols, and I'm one of them, but if you don't care, I got a couple of points I wanted to bring out. First of all, I think you got to take your hat off to Chain tonight. I mean, you look at the game plan that he came up with, how to attack us. It was brilliant, and it's frustrating as a Vol fan that we don't see that out of our offensive coordinator. That we don't seem to come out with the plan of attack. Now, obviously, we won the game, and that's all that matters. But man, that was the thing of beauty early in that game, was it not?
You're 1,000% right. The way they used that tight end on our linebackers, and the way they constantly got him in space, and the way they were running the ball and just controlling the spacing in that game. And here's something Chaney did tonight that I wasn't expecting from him. He went run heavy and showed me something. You know, here's the thing about our defense, guys, that's concerned me the whole time. Teams gash us when they run on us. Now, I don't know how many 5-0 teams, guys, can y'all say that about? Caller, you tell me. When teams run on us, like run the ball down our throats at times, and that just doesn't scream 5-0 to you. I mean, I know we're 5-0. As for DeBoard just has those, I don't even know what you call them, lapses in concentration. I don't know. But he has series where he just takes a series or two off. And Chaney tonight was a lot better than him, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, he put on a clinic, in my opinion. I mean, they're an undermanned team, young quarterbacks, bad offensive line, and they really schemed us up. And you know, I believe in giving props where they're due. I'll take the win any day of the week. You know, I'm going to celebrate it for 6 days and get ready for Texas A&M. But you know, I thought that needed to be pointed out. You know, the other thing I wanted to point out, Tony, is this. I hope every coach in America takes some video of that game and shows these players. I am so sick of selfish players costing their teams major. Mm-hmm. I love Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. That play he made is selfish. It's silly.
Now,
it almost cost us the football game. And the Georgia kid, whoever it was that celebrated on that touchdown, he cost them that football game.
No question.
If they kicked that ball off from the 35, we got no chance of winning that football game.
And this is in dispute, okay? Because where I was tonight at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse, where I'll be next Saturday, thanks to my friends at Miller Lite, where I was tonight, we were having a discussion about the Hurd play. In my mind, and it's hard to describe this, okay? It's hard to read minds. It looked to me like Hurd's going into the end zone. He sees the safety over there. He slows down, and is going to make it look good for TV and kind of glide in. And there's another part of that play that's real teachable, I think. For every coach everywhere, you never quit on a play when you're playing defense because you never know. What if that guy slows up? What if he trots? Then you de-cleat him. And he got shocked. I mean, he got knocked in the next week when he got hit. And to me, he was showboating, and he was kind of taunting the guy a little bit almost. Did you all see?
He was trying to taunt the guy he saw.
The safety.
And didn't know there was a dude
right
behind him.
That's the way I saw that play. Now, some people said, Tony, that's strong. Taunting. Come on, that's... let's go around the room to my caller. Do you think that was kind of a taunting play? It looked to me like it was.
Oh, it absolutely was, Tony. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, everybody in Vol Nation, we've kind of poked fun at Butch Jones talking about his scoring standard,
yeah,
and all this stuff. Hey, man, there's Exhibit A. You know, if he catches that ball, runs full speed, high and tight in that end zone, nobody touches him. We've got a touchdown. We've got momentum. You know, and it's just a shame. And
it is.
And, you know, the last thing I want to say, Tony, is this. I love Tennessee as much as anybody. Mm-hmm. We have to get better Monday through Friday at winning these football games because we're getting killed in the film room. Happy State,
yep.
Vaute,
yep.
Every team we've played so far has whipped our hind ends in the film room. And if we're going to win championships, we've got to change that. We can't rely on adjusting and making adjustments. They're nice to have, but we've got to come out with a better game plan to start the game, or I'm afraid that it's going to catch up to us.
Oh, it's going to. I mean, it's going to catch up. It almost caught up tonight. Eventually, you know, the bill comes due. But it was an unbelievable game tonight, and I appreciate your call. And I think there's a place to talk about that on here. Thanks for the call. I think there's a place to talk about that because Tennessee continues to get away with it. Now, they're not getting completely out-schemed. These coaches are not doing a horrible job, obviously. I mean, they're pushing right buttons. Butch Jones tonight at his press conference threw a little shade on his offensive coordinator when he said, hey, the original call was for a hook and lateral, which never works, by the way. Maybe it worked at Cal one time. They show you that play over and over again, and it's been like 35 years. To tell you how long it's been, I had the guy on a decade ago who was the guy that ran the trombone player over, and it was 10 years ago then, and it was 20 years after the play then. Anyway, Bino, did you think that was a selfish play on Hurd's part before we go back to the phones?
I did, Tony. I saw it the same way that you did.
So you saw it as taunting,
too. Looking over at the safety coming at him and was just going to kind of jog in and taunt him just a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's just so out of character from what we've seen from Hurd that I think that'll be a lesson learned from him and we'll never see it again.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, it was the trombone player, not the tuba player. Tennessee 5-0. And I'll tell you what, I give that kid from Georgia a lot of credit because most defensive players quit on that play. Am I wrong?
No, you're correct. He played through the play. He did what you're supposed to do. As we watched the game tonight, Freddie was talking about Urban Meyer requiring his players to hand the football to the official when they score. And that's a sure way. Now, it may not have avoided the play that we're talking about, but it certainly would avoid some of this dropping the ball on the half-yard line like we've seen a couple of times this year in other football games.
You know, and let's say this about Hurd tonight. I don't know if there's a guy on the team down in and down out that plays harder than him.
No, that's right.
And it would have been a shame. It would have been a shame to lose tonight's game.
Mm.
It would have shame.
Yeah, you can bet Jalen Hurd and Malik Foreman are really going really thankful for Juwan Jennings.
Clemson just scored again, and it is rocking, reeling, rocking and rolling in Death Valley. They're up 21-0 now, and they are throwing it long and gone, and that's a great, great catch by their wide receiver on a bomb in the end zone. Wow. Let's go back to the phones. 21-7 now, Clemson leading, which shows you how little I know about this nonsense.
Dabo. Next,
little Dabo, do you? Next call. Welcome in. Hello.
Hey, Tony. It's Gordon.
Hey, Gordon. Welcome in, brother.
How are you?
Good to talk to you, man.
Good to talk to you. Well, I agree with your last caller. I thought Chaney had a brilliant plan. In fact, it reminded me of when Lane's first year going to Alabama and shortening the game, you know, taking the clock all the way down to the last minute before you snap it. I thought they had a brilliant plan.
Yeah, Jim Chaney had Tennessee schemed up pretty good. And they managed the game with the young quarterback pretty well. They did all right defensively. I'm sure they don't feel so. But I was just reading a thing Seth Emerson from the AJC was writing where they had talked to Kirby, and he had a quote that, you know, they feel like they should have won the game, but he feels like they were just undisciplined throughout the game, and really pointed out the when they hit their long pass, I guess there was a 15-yard
correct
celebration penalty, and he feels like that kind of set in motion the chain of events that followed.
Well, and one other thought for you, by the way, CBS just announced they didn't even wait.
Yep.
The window, they're taking the Tennessee game next week at 3:30. So, go ahead, Gordon. I'm sorry.
You know, I thought another interesting play, the kickoff, which, you know, they're getting criticized, but, you know, I don't know if you caught this during the game because it was probably loud where you are, but, you know, Danielson was criticized in Tennessee for having the hands team. And what I don't think people realize is you put the hands team out there in that situation in case they try to squib it. You got your best guys that can field it right there, and you got the ball at midfield.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is the kicker, when he sees the hands team, there's probably a signal that says, you know, kick it.
Well, Kirby said he told his kicker to, quote, sky it.
Yeah.
And
they didn't want
kick that thing
Barry to have a chance to return it, but
kick that thing as far as you can. That makes no sense.
Yeah,
Gordon,
I think they would have without the 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, but Gordon, does that make any sense? Even with a 15-yard penalty, does that make any sense to just?
No, they had. I mean, you kick it as far as
hell. Yeah.
You can.
Well, you've got
now,
Evan Barry.
Now, the
back
problem
there
that they were going to have though, when you have your hands team up there, and if you kick it deep like that, you're going to give. I mean, nobody's getting a running start because you got 10 guys up there that are going to be blocking everybody right then, and Barry's going to have a 30-yard running start when he catches it.
Yep.
So it's not as slam dunk as everybody thinks it is when you throw that hands team out there. I think that was brilliant. I haven't heard anybody bring it up yet, and I could be wrong, but I'm going to bet you that's why they put the hands team out there, was to stop the squib. Because if you field the ball there, if you squib it and the kicker doesn't, you know, if he can't get it through a crack, you know, we've got the ball at midfield.
Well, also, if they squib it, you better catch it, because if it ricochets off you and Georgia pounces on it, game's over.
Yeah, true. But, you know, at that point, it's desperation anyway, so. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anything like the last 2 weeks. As you know, I've been around football a long time, but I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this.
Yeah, I mean, you coached at Oklahoma State. You've been around the game of college football 3.5 decades or so. And I tell you this right now, you won't see another game like that. I don't care if you live to be 150. You'll never see anything like that, what we saw today.
No. I mean, look, just the fact that their freshman quarterback probably had as, you know, horrible a play as you could ever have by fumbling in the end zone for a touchdown, and then to come back and make the throw he made is mind-boggling, and then for us to come back and win it, I mean, it's crazy. I mean.
And you think about everything Tennessee overcame in that game, how these guys continue to get up. And our caller, some people are going to say, well, that's a real negative call. The truth is, Gordon, this staff has been taken to the woodshed 2 or 3 times this year, and they're winning. And you know what matters?
You've got to give them some credit.
That's what matters. That's all that matters.
You know, honestly, think about this, Tony. You know, you're playing on one side with a third corner in this league, you know, because you had, you know, with Sutton going down, you had Martin replace him. You know, he got benched and then suspended. And now you're playing with, you know, at least your third corner third team quarter.
Yeah.
And you got no linebackers, you know, at least, I mean, yeah, they're, you know, they're doing their best, but they're not what everybody expected. I mean, it's really remarkable. I mean, it's patchwork defense, and they're getting a lot out of these kids.
It's, the kids are getting everything they have. That's why the last thing I want to do is blow this thing up and talk about how next week's a surefire win. Hey, next week's another game on the road.
No, of course not. You know, I've been there. That place is, you know, crazy, and it's bigger now than even than many years ago when we played down there. It's a very special place. It'll be a amazing environment, just like today. You know, Tony Jennings is an absolute throwback. As I texted you earlier, he could start at linebacker for us right now. In my opinion, he's really something. I mean, he just, you know, I'm told, I didn't see, you know, the whole game film, but I'm told last week that he took Tabor to the woodshed every single play of that game. Like, just took his head off. Or even plays that weren't involved. You know, he took the game to him every play, such that on the play he scored on, he kind of flinched.
You're talking about a guy that will be a high selection in the NFL draft, and you're talking about a kid manhandling him. And by the way, I use the term manhandle not loosely.
But watch him on kickoff coverage.
I'm telling you, I've said the whole year, you could play that kid both ways and get away with it very easily on this football team right now.
Even last year. Last year on kickoff coverage, he'd literally take people's head off.
Yep.
I mean, he's a dream player for coaches.
Yes. And, Gordon, always good to hear from you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Love your show.
Yes, sir. Love you, man.
See you.
Beanstar, your thoughts on what Gordo had to say.
Gordon, he's exactly right. He's a guy that knows football, sees things that you and I will never see. But one thing that we can both see is Juwan Jennings is a football player. He's the best football player on the field most Saturdays.
Yeah, and he's just now getting his feet under him. Wait till he gets comfortable. You know, Dubsy, wait till that kid gets comfortable with what he's doing.
Jennings?
So special.
Yeah, I mean, he's a talent for sure. I think, you know, because of Tennessee's offense, I think some of these guys are going to be better in the pros than they are. And I mean,
oh, I agree with that.
Jennings is going to be a pro. So is Josh Malone. And I tell you, he made a big catch today. We just haven't seen him much since the first drive of the season, but I think Preston Williams is their most physically gifted receiver.
Jennings is having Preston Williams season right now. That's the deal. Everybody thought that the season that Jennings is having right now was going to be Preston Williams by the way he played in the preseason. And it hadn't come to pass.
Poor Josh Smith. I mean, it's one spectacular play, one bad play. Just can't find his stride for whatever reason. I think he's more than capable of being a fine player in this conference.
But hurt, man.
Yeah, you can't stay healthy.
When you get behind the eight ball in this league, man, it's really hard to get off.
The catch he had today is a big-time catch over the middle there.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Yo, Tony.
Yes.
Hey, it's Jonesy up here in Seymour.
Hey, what's up, brother? Great to hear your voice.
Hey. Yeah, man, I listen to you every day, and don't get to call a whole lot, but just listening to you, and unbelievable, man, and it's definitely the NGYV, and just sitting here listening to the last couple calls, just happened to think of a couple things. Number one, how many games in a row have we won now?
Dubsy, we've won how many in a row
11
now?
In a row.
11 in a row, almost a whole season.
It's unbelievable. And also, think about, we went up against Cheney today. We're going to go up against Chavy next week. And then Kiffin the following week. So it's got to be the NGYV. just the, how weird everything has unfolded this entire season so far.
Boy, that's a great point. I didn't think about those ties 3 weeks in a row.
Oh, wow. 3 weeks in a row, former coaches. Wow. And Chavis' family. You know, guys, Chavis'
that's
family.
That's right. I was calling last year to, you know, to have Butch Jones bring Chavis back, you know, when things were looking bad with, oh, what's his name, before they got to shoot.
Janzik.
Yeah, Janzik. I was calling for, hey, man, let's bring Chavis back, man. He's a ball. He's part of the family.
And then you'll have Kiffin the following week, and then you'll have Lance Thompson over at South Carolina. and you know what? The sad truth is, probably half of those guys are still on our payroll.
Unbelievable. Well, I work with a bunch of Gators and Bulldogs, and this is so sweet, Tony, and just the way it all happened. You know, going from getting beat, oh, shucks, you know, man, there goes our undefeated season. You know, it's all going down the toilet. You know, oh, well, but dang, it was an East opponent we were going down to, you know, and we didn't need the loss today. Now, I could take the loss at A&M or Bama, but, you know, man, we got to get these Eastern opponents and put them away and get to Atlanta like we want.
You know, it's just so fun, man. It's, you know what this is? This is community, right? I mean, we're on here celebrating tonight and,
amen.
We're not ripping and going crazy. And, you know how upset people would have been if we'd let them beat us with that play? At the end of that game?
God.
I mean, can you imagine what tonight's show would be like?
Oh, my. Well, the last 3 weeks, I've told my buddies, man, we can't ever have anything nice around here. And it'd be at halftime, you know.
Yeah.
And then I've come back, you know, and I'm just, man, I'm taking every one of these wins. They're so sweet.
Yep.
After all that we've been through these last 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, I've been watching Tennessee football. But my dad took me to the first game in 78.
Yep.
And I live and die with them every week, you know, and I listen to you every day, Tony.
Thank
you.
Don't
get to call every day, man.
Thank you.
Man, but you make my lunch hour special every day. And go Vols, and just enjoy the show. Keep it up, brother.
Thank you. That's such a great, astute point by him, though, when you think about the family of coaches. You know, it started with the first game of the season and Dale Jones. Was there anybody on tech staff, Dubsy, that was here? Of course, you had Memphis's head coach. He's from the state of Tennessee. That's a tie. You had Ohio. Butch Jones came out of the MAC. That's your tie there. Anybody on Florida staff, Dubsy, that we have a shared? Robert Gillespie, our guy, was from Florida.
Yeah.
Is there any other tie there? Because we're getting ready to get into a string of ties. Satterfield from Tennessee Tech was on the staff here at one time. I think he started here as a grad assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There are guys all over the place. And like I said before, most of them are on our payroll.
Well, Florida had one of Tennessee's punters from last year on their team.
That's
the
right.
Kid.
That's right. I mean, the hits just keep on coming. And Lane Kiffin has about 9 girlfriends probably in town.
Hmm.
Probably won't have about 7 of them the night before the game.
Boy, he's going to be...
He's going to be a busy man.
He's going to be busy that Friday night, huh?
He's going to be a busy man. Deshaun Watson's playing like a guy that...
Lance Thompson is on South Carolina staff.
Yeah. Yeah. 865-200-5402. And by the way, Bino, for those that just found us, do we want Tennessee in third and short next week, Bino, or third and 10-plus when we face John Chavis?
Oh, we want them third and long, Tony. All night long.
And what do we call that?
That's third and Chavis.
And I would, in a sense, Dubsy, almost spot them 10 points just to keep it interesting.
He's Chavy.
What do you make of this Lamar Jackson, them gouging his eyeballs out under the pack there?
I think the dude had him in a chokehold, was choking him.
Yes.
And, you know, it's football. It happens.
You know what
Lamar Jackson is very frustrated tonight, though.
You know what he looked like there when he was in that chokehold?
Looked like Brutus the Barber at Beefcake putting somebody to sleep.
No, he looked like Kirby Smart after that ball went into the end zone. I bet you the air was sucked clean out of him. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402.
I mean, I haven't seen anybody choke like that since Jalen Tabor last week.
There is a loser leaves town match. It is a Texas death match. It is no holds barred. And it will have a 4-hour time limit next week on CBS. And it is on CBS, by the way. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Do we have a 4-hour time limit next week?
Interesting.
Fifth quarter?
Interesting.
Tony.
Yes.
Brian in Asheville.
Hey, brother, welcome in.
Hey, man, thanks. I was posed a question on Facebook earlier from an old high school friend. Dobbins Bennett, Malik Foreman, alma mater, by the way. But who's the better group, New Edition or Tony, Tony, Tony? I said New Edition, but the best call-in show is Tony, Tony, Tony all day long, brother, brother.
You know, the bottom line is that, how about your boy Malik Foreman peaked? What was your face like when he peaked back into the backfield and the ball got thrown over him like 70 yards in the air?
Couple points. That's football. You go from hero to goat in like 3 seconds.
You got it.
ABC, 1-2-3, the East Coast, Atlantic Coast family, while CBS just can't be still because they drive me crazy. I just had a Ken Joe birthday cigar for Beano, by the way. Happy birthday. Thank
you,
sir.
Appreciate
that.
How about it, Bean Star?
Swisher sweet.
I appreciate the happy birthday wishes, but New Edition never sung a song as good as Lay Your Head on My Pillow, or it's our anniversary, so there's no way New Edition's as good as Tony, Tony, Tony.
Hey, you've been around longer than I have, brother. Hey,
I've been around longer than everybody.
Here's the deal, man. You can say what you want. I was texting my buddies, you know, there's like 30 text threads, whatever. Jalen Hurd, and Kamara has the fumble. Jalen Hurd, that was showboating. I don't care what anybody says. He'll learn from it. It's lucky we won because I think it'll make us better for the next two games, which we're going to have to put four quarters together, which I don't know if we're going to be a better playing four quarters versus our crazy emotional. I mean, they drive me to drink. Couple points, though. We're not giving enough credit. The long snapper, yes. I mean, amazing. But Barry on that return, to not expect where the kickoff's going, to catch that on the fly, he almost got tackled twice going laterally. So his speed to turn the corner to get up there where we were was huge on that kickoff because he believed. He played to the end. The wheel route, everybody knows about it. Saban, Alabama's going to be ahead of us. It's great. It's worked 3 or 4 times. We got to come up with something different. We have too much talent not to. Final point, Jawan. I think there used to be a honey badger in the conference a few years ago. Well, you know what? We got a mallard duck, and that duck can pull that truck. And when he dipped down in the water and came up for that catch, I screamed and scared my kids to death. I'm out, Tony B. Go ball, go big orange.
Growl.
See you,
great
ball.
Call.
Bye.
Great call. And Clemson just went down the field like it was nothing. And they're up, pending an extra point, 27-10. Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. 5 seconds ago in that.
Poor Bobby
first
Petrino
half.
Hasn't had this bad a road trip since he took that ill-fated bike ride with the volleyball player.
Wow. And her boyfriend was chasing him, by the way. That's the real story there. And Bino, this is why these Clemson, this is why these receivers want to play in that offense. They're dynamic, man.
Yeah, there's no question, Tony. The problem is young kids are judging where they're going on Deshaun Watson, and he will not be there.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Next call, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony B, this is Terry from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Terry, where in Pennsylvania?
York County.
I love York County, man. I'm originally from Kennett Square myself.
Yeah, I know, man. I listen to you every day.
Thank you, brother.
So, is there a more beloved player than Josh Dobbs in the last 10 to 15 years? I mean, from everything he does for the community and the way that he just doesn't let that team die. And it's so refreshing. And then you got to feel for Jalen Hurd. He's going to be glad to go pro after this year and never play in Sanford Stadium again. You remember 2 years ago as a freshman, he fumbled in the end zone.
Yeah,
Georgia recovered for a touchdown, and then he had to play today. love cheering for this team, and after seeing the past 10 to 15 years I've lived up in PA and not being able to cheer for them with gusto and hearing a bunch of junk from all kinds of fans of Mid-Atlantic, it's great to see the Vols 5-0.
Man, what a great call by you in beautiful York. That's beautiful country, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's not as beautiful as Tennessee, but
no.
It's still a beautiful place to live.
You know what? It looks like Tennessee there, though. It looks like East Tennessee there.
It does. We got a little bit of everything. Winters are colder, though, so.
Winters are cold, and the women are a little bigger.
Hey, appreciate you getting me on. Have a good night.
Hey, have a great night. Guys, thoughts here on his phone call before we go back. Bino, you've been a... You know, you were Dobbs when Dobbs wasn't cool, Bino.
Well, it's for the reasons that he talked about, Tony. He's just everything. He's everything that we should appreciate about college football. He's a true student. He's good in the community. He's a leader. He's a tough guy. He's, you know, Al Wilson was a great leader because of his fervor, and he took everybody to a higher level, especially on the defensive side of football. Josh does it the opposite way. He's just such a cool, collected customer that the offense never stops believing that they're going to do what they got to do.
Now, what I would do with him is I'd get him outside the pocket more, especially the next couple weeks. I mean, I would let him be him. And they're not doing that enough for my blood. I mean, when they do that,
no question,
he shines.
He's better on the move, Tony. I don't think you can do it every time. But he's better on. I had a bigger problem tonight with our last possession when they just didn't basically put it in his hands. I mean, the next to last possession.
It was crazy. That was
crazy. Let him run the football,
right.
And he'd run for a first down.
That's right. And the way
and then
Navy
they never
wife
have,
is, yeah, Navy,
they don't have the ball again.
Navy wife here on Periscope saying you got to let Dobbs do Dobbs because nobody does Dobbs like Dobbs. I mean,
that's
not
right.
Even the kid at Clemson can do it like Dobbs can. And Dobbs is like a rubber man. I call him a crash test dummy. He runs around. You know, he makes great throws when he's on the run. He does that better than anybody maybe I've ever seen. And the bigger the spot, the better he plays. He played lights out last year against Florida down there. He played lights out against Oklahoma here. He was very good against Alabama last year in a loss. He was very good against Georgia last year when they finally fell behind. He was excellent against Florida last week, Dubs, when they fell behind.
Yeah, I mean, he's clutch. There's no doubt about it.
But he's not a passer of the football. He's not one of those stand back there. I mean, he's going to do it with his legs.
I think something snapped with him in the second half of that Florida game. I think that what we've seen for the past six quarters is something different than what we'd seen certainly prior to that this year,
I hope
maybe
you're
even last year.
I hope you're right. Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402. I'll tell you what he is, though. As Max just said, he is one of the toughest SOBs you'll ever see anywhere, quarterback or not. Let's go back to the phones. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony. Greg down in Columbia, Tennessee. How
hey,
you doing,
Greg.
Buddy?
Welcome in, brother.
Hey, it's late getting into you tonight. I had to take a drive after that win, man. I was so pumped up.
I feel you.
But, man, what a game. And I've got to say, I'm sure you've already had a caller like this, but I've got to say, 5-0 for the first time since 98. Everybody knows what happened in 98. We were down to getting beat against Arkansas. The quarterback stumble, fumble. We recover it. We go down and win the game. There's something about this year, guys. Tennessee fans out there, baby. It's something about this year. It's destiny for us. It's falling into place. Next week, we'll really know how this team is for the year so far and how it's going to possibly end up. But Texas A&M, Alabama, those two guys better be watching.
Hey, now if you can get through the next stretch, no matter how you slice it, if you can get through the next stretch of games 1-1, you set yourself up for people like you having a leg to stand on when they harken back to 98, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to throw all that pressure on that coaching staff and those kids, But there's nothing wrong with right now looking at it and going, hey, Lady Luck has been more than on our side. Fate has been more than in our corner. And if we go 1-1, Russell, in our next two games, we have a chance in Atlanta to do something. If we go 1-1 in our next two games.
You get to Atlanta, you've got a chance no matter what.
As a two-loss team. But what I'm saying is for a national playoff is what I'm talking about.
I just don't care about that.
I understand that. Yeah. But a 1-1 deal.
Two losses, you're out.
Yeah, a 1-1 deal really lets you dream. You win next week. It doesn't matter what happens in the Alabama game. You win next week, and all of a sudden, you are literally playing on house money. And boy, that stadium, can you guys close your eyes and think about what that stadium will be like when Alabama and Tennessee roll out there? And if Tennessee's smart, Bino, what color combination should they go for if they're smart?
Orange and white.
Bino said it. You got it. Orange and white. And go back to the old days, and Alabama would have to petition the league office for us to see the kind of, Bino, what was the color combination back then in 82 or that people talk about?
Tony, historically, Tennessee wore orange and Alabama wore their crimson.
That's right.
You know, and that's, it was done last year, as Sage said, he's right. If Alabama petitions the league, they would allow it to happen. Hey guys, if Tennessee splits these next two games,
yep.
I had high expectations, and they've exceeded my expectations if they split in these next two football games. And if that occurs, Alabama's probably going to have to beat us twice to keep us out of the playoffs.
Let me ask you guys
a question. In this Tennessee-Georgia game, what is it about the SEC officials? Are they down to the bottom of the barrel of these guys? You get a targeting call on Josh Dobbs, helmet to helmet, and no call there,
and you
plain
can hear
as
it.
Day in front of the official.
You could hear it, too. I heard it live. I heard that helmet crack that helmet.
Yeah. And then the next play, he comes in. He's probably still getting the cobwebs out and throws the interception. Well, then, on the touchdown pass by Georgia, if you look at the replay, one of the replays was down field level shooting the line of scrimmage, and you see a guy for Georgia with a handful of jersey of a Tennessee player, plain as day. Well, they missed that one, too, on the touchdown pass. I just don't get it with these officials. I mean, I don't know.
Problem with the game is we have replay now, and we have nobody on replay. We're still getting calls wrong. We're still getting calls.
Unbelievable.
Wrong. Yeah, thanks, Greg. Good talking to you. Let's get our next call in. It is your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in. Hello.
Tony B's Big Ben, man.
Hey, Benny. Welcome in, brother. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. We're just pulling back in the driveway from down in Athens.
God, you guys are so dedicated. Wow.
Well, I've got some college buddies that live in Athens, him and his wife. They had some extra tickets, and they texted a couple of days ago and said, what y'all doing Saturday at 3:30? I said, depends on what you're doing. So they hooked us up. We went down to the game with them, had a great time, man. But that stadium, I'm going to tell you, we were sitting behind the Georgia bench about 40 rows up, and you want to talk about a sweet taste of victory.
Awesome.
Right behind the Georgia bench. And at the end of the game, you know, of course, you know how Georgia fans are. At the end of the game, when they hit their bomb, I mean, they're just ragging me and my wife. And you know how she feels about Florida fans. The Georgia fans are right there with the Florida fans in her book, you know, with the whole barbed wire incident. But, I'll say this. There was one little, Georgia fan, he was a college kid sitting behind me. I mean, from the start of the game, the first couple of minutes, he's in my left shoulder barking like a dog right in my left ear. And I'm in these guys' seats, and I'm trying to be respectful because, you know, they're not mine, and they're their season tickets. And I thought, how do I stop this and not, you know, rock the boat? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I told Wendy, I said, hey, hand me the pack of gum. I turned around and said, dude, you may go and bark in my ear for four quarters, but you ain't going to do it. You're nasty ass breath. And he was speechless, dude, speechless. And from then on, there was no more barking in my ear.
You talked trash on a guy and offered him a piece of gum?
I did. I told him, I said, you might bark in my ear, but you ain't going to do it with that nasty ass breath.
That's that's beyond next level, dude. Beyond next level.
The end of the game, there's like one a Tennessee fan, him and his wife's a Georgia fan, they're in the row behind us, down six or eight seats. I mean, we're not close enough to high five, but there's him, and then about four rows behind us, there's this one dude wearing a pair of those orange and white checkerboarded overalls. You know which ones I'm talking about.
Oh,
no
I love that stuff. I love that stuff, brother.
So me and Wendy and these two guys, and that's all around probably for 30, 40, 50 feet. We're the only Tennessee fans. So, you know, we're all giving each other the nod, this, that, all the way through the game. But I'm going to tell you, brother, when we hit that bomb at the end and Juwan Jennings caught that ball, I was like an old Pentecostal preacher, brother. I was clearing pews, giving hugs, high fives. I was knocking Georgia fans out of the way.
What were their faces like when that whole thing went down?
The Georgia fans?
Yeah. What were those people when you look around and you saw those people?
They looked like they threw up in their mouth and then tried to swallow it back down.
And the guy behind you smelled like it.
Yeah. Well, no, he smelled like spearmint after the first quarter.
Ben turns around, Bino, and says to a guy, what was it, Ben?
I said, you may go on the bark in my ear for the whole game. I said, but you ain't going to do it with that nasty ass breath.
You know how I know that story's true, Ben?
How's that?
Because every time you tell it, you're using the same exact language.
Well, that's exactly what went down.
And Ben ain't playing. And Wendy.
My buddy Matt is rolling. He is rolling.
What was it like walking out to your car? And those who were down there, I want some first person, first hand. I hope you were a classy winner after that game, Ben. I really do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We were high-fiving Tennessee fans on the way out. But I didn't say the first word to a Georgia fan walking out of there. You didn't have to.
No.
Hey, you know, I'll say this, Tony. The last 19 seconds of that game, sitting in that stadium, when they threw the bomb, they scored.
Yep.
I had already turned around to do with a nasty breath. I shook his hand and told him, I said, y'all made the play. Good game. It's over. You know, I'd already shook his hand, you know, and tried to be classy as I could. Like I said, these aren't my seats. These are these guys' seats, and I'm trying not to rock my boat. But the last 19 seconds of that game, both teams, Tennessee and Georgia, both fan bases, wow, we experienced the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows, both teams.
And it's why.
And Tony, I'll say, I'll put it this way.
Yep.
The way we seen that game finish at any level of football, I'm 38 years old. I have never seen two Hail Marys in a row back-to-back by opposite teams to finish a game. Never.
Dude, in real time, those who are following the show, Wendy Galloway, who is beyond next level, just tweeted out a picture of the gentleman in the... And, sir, if you're listening to us right now, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you. You are so next level looking. The gentleman in the... in the overalls, the checkerboard overalls.
But I'll say this, Tony. We watched history tonight. The way that game went down, two Hail Marys to finish the game out, two scores. We'll never see that again in our lifetime at any level of football, I don't think. Matter of fact, of course, my phone's blown up. Everybody I've talked to, I've said, have you ever seen that before? And not one person yet has said, yes, I've seen that. I don't think we'll ever see it again.
Wow.
There's
never been anything like that. So how would you see that?
When was the last time Tennessee won a game where they score walk-off on the last play? No extra point. They score a touchdown on the last play of the game.
Walk-off home run. And I told my buddy Matt before the game, I said, you know, this game is always, it don't matter. If 2 years ago, I believe Georgia was, what, number 10? And we went in there. Is that right, unranked?
That's correct.
And it was a three-point game. Then you had what happened last year.
Yep.
And now, this series here, rankings don't matter. You throw that out the window.
No.
That's just how it is.
And here's the thing, and Beasterwood's right online here. Mark Richt is going to have Miami back in the top 10 this week, and those Georgia people are going to get to back to Degeneration X days, they're going to be sucking on it. And they're going to suck that lemon, brah. And they're going to know that's got to be brutal for them. I mean, because that coaching cost them that game today. The fact that their team's undisciplined.
That celebration penalty cost Georgia the ball game.
No doubt about it.
When they scored.
The Canes are coming for you. Hey, I thank you for the call. Ben, I love you. Ben Galloway, you're my man.
Good night. Goodbye.